Well, good morning. Can you all hear me? Can you hear me, Keith? Good. I've given the title to my message this morning, and it is this: Finding Peace in Bad Situations. We're in troubled times, aren't we? And most of us found ourselves in difficult situations at one time or another. Even when there's not a pandemic on, or major things like the Ukraine disasters and so on, Ukraine situation, we have personal problems to deal with. Situations which are not, at best, are not easy to get out of, and at worst are impossible to get out of. But we have to live with them, or through them. And in such situations, I believe that the most important thing for us to do is to find peace, or at least a measure of peace. But how do we do that? That's the question I want to try and answer this morning. As I'm sure you would expect me to say, God gives us the answer. And we can find it in his word, the Bible. It's there in the reading we had from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. So where do we start? I believe we have to start by changing our focus. In bad or situations and difficult situations, we're inclined to make the particular situation our point of focus. But we've got to do something different. We've got to make God our point of focus. Now, I know from actual experience that it's much easier for me to say that than it is for us to do it. But it's what God, through Paul, means when he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say, rejoice. Now, that doesn't mean to say that we're happy about the situation and we're rejoicing about the situation. Nor does it mean that we are to rejoice in our difficulties. It means exactly what it says. Rejoice in the Lord. Not in the situation, but rejoice in the Lord. My grandson, as I mentioned to you through the WhatsApp messages, has been to the Ukraine. And when some of the team were coming back, he decided that he was going to stay a little bit longer. And he got a message to my son-in-law, his father, and he said, "Well, the other members of the team are coming back, but I'm staying on a little bit longer." So Stephen said to him, "Well, why are you doing that?" And Jonathan said, "Because I'm enjoying myself." Now, he didn't mean he was jumping up and down like we saw on the screen just now. He wasn't doing that. He wasn't dancing. But he was enjoying being of help. He was enjoying being able to help, being led somehow into doing that. And so he stayed a little bit longer, came home. He had had to go into Ukraine when originally he hadn't expected to. But he's going back again next week, because he wants to be of help some more. So he rejoiced in the situation. He rejoiced in something bigger than the particular warfare that was going on. He rejoiced in being able to help and so on. We rejoice and are happy in good things, aren't we? Well, we have the best thing to rejoice in, and that is the fact that we are children of God. And God is in control of our lives. At the beginning of his letter, James says that we are to count it joy when trials or difficulties come into our lives. That's not to say that the trial itself brings joy, but then when we recognize that God is at work in us through the trial, through the difficulty, there can be joy in our lives. Let me remind you what Job said when he lost everything he had. And I don't think any of us have been through the same situations that Job went through. But what did he say? He lost his home, he lost his flocks, lost his cattle, he lost his possessions, and he lost his family. And yet he said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." And that's in Job chapter 1, verse 21. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He knew God was with him. I hope you'll forgive me for telling your personal story. Our daughter Diane died on the 19th of March 2008. It was the Wednesday of Holy Week, and I was due to give the meditation at the evening meeting of Hillfield Baptist Church, where we were members. You will understand that Diane having died that afternoon, I felt unable to give that meditation. But Yvonne and I still went to the meeting. And my heart thrilled when Andrew, our pastor, in his meditation, shared almost everything that had been on my heart to share. He didn't know what I was going to speak about, but he shared the same things that I would have shared that evening. And as we thought about all that Jesus went through during that week, leading up to his trial and crucifixion, our thoughts concerning Diane and her death at a comparatively early age were brought very much into focus, and we were truly able to worship, to find joy in the midst of our mourning and our grief, and in the days ahead, able to speak of the goodness of God and the great times we had enjoyed with her, even to laugh about some of them. No, we weren't happy that Diane had died. We knew great sadness, we knew great grief. But we were able to focus on God and upon his goodness in the situation, and so to find joy and peace, rejoicing in his enabling. But let me go back a little and repeat something I have just said. I said we were truly able to worship, to find joy in the midst of our mourning and grief, and in the days ahead, able to speak of the goodness of God. And this was important, because Satan and our own flesh have a way of coming back at us and biting us, and to help us, we do need to maintain our focus on God and upon his goodness and his love to enable us to literally be involved in serving others and helping others. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, Paul, led by the Spirit of God, said, "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." What I'm saying is that our joy and rejoicing in the Lord should move us to focus on others and let them see that our gentleness, our kindness, our patience is of the Lord. But how do we do it? What did Paul say? He said, "The Lord is at hand." What this means is that God is right here with us. Sometimes we say God's there with us. No, he's here with us, right with us. Here, not there. And he's there here to help us and to enable us in our serving others. But why does he do it? He does it not simply because he wants us to serve others, but because he knows how weak we are. You see, our natural inclination is to focus on ourselves and the situation we find ourselves in, and with the result that we spiral down into despair. But if we focus on others and their needs, our attention will be turned from ourselves, we will be distracted and we won't have time to spiral down. Instead, we will gain a great deal of satisfaction, a great deal of pleasure and joy in serving others. Let me share another testimony with you. Years ago, before she was married, our younger daughter became pregnant. We told her that we were going to let other folk at our church, that was Meredith Road Baptist Church, that we wanted them to know, rather than have them asking in whispers whether she was pregnant or not. You know the thing. Is she? Isn't she? We weren't going to have that. We were going to tell them the situation. The night that we learned that she was pregnant, I was leading our house group meeting, and I told them. And one of the men at that meeting immediately told us of the relief and release that our sharing this news was to him. And many of you know that man. And I have Estella's permission to share this with you. That man was Norman. I've got the name right. Norman, yes. It is Norman. Norman, who became a member here. And he found it such a release. You see, his daughter some time before had become pregnant, but he had kept the fact hidden. He'd bottled it up inside. He felt a great deal of guilt, but our sharing our news gave him the freedom to talk about his situation, and a new joy came into his life because of that. Now, some of you might be saying, this is all okay, but if there's someone else around that you can help, but what about those times when you're on your own? Perhaps at that time, every night when you go to bed. It's at those times that we especially need to give our troubles to God in prayer. I was listening to Helen Shapiro singing some songs this morning. She'd got the answer. I go to the rock of my salvation. So confidently she sang it. I go to the rock of my salvation. And that's what we need to do. Yvonne identified with the story which I'm going to share with you now. The night before a woman was to have open heart surgery, her son was tossing and turning on his bed, unable to get any peace, although he was remembering God's word through Paul, again to the Philippians, where Paul wrote, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." And that it was what he was doing, over and over and over again. But he got no relief, he got no peace, and he got no sleep. And then he realized that he was praying as pagans do. Jesus had referred to this in the Sermon on the Mount. And what he was doing was worrying in case he didn't say exactly the right thing, if he didn't mention every conceivable problem that might arise, and that if he didn't pray with the right attitude, God wouldn't hear his prayer. Realizing what he was doing, the man simply gave his burden to the Lord. And that's what God wants us all to do, to open our hearts to him and tell him what it is that is troubling us, what it is that is lying so heavily upon our hearts. He wants to wrap it all up and hand the parcel over to him, so that we can rest. I wonder if any of you has ever actually carefully wrapped up a present, written an address on the outside of it, gone to the post office, had the parcel weighed, paid for the stamp, received the stamp, licked it, stuck it, or you don't have to lick them these days, do you? And stuck the stamp on the parcel, and then, instead of leaving the parcel there for the post office to deliver, you've taken it away, got in your car, and delivered it yourself. Any of you done that? I wouldn't have thought so. I don't think you're that silly. But you see, that's what so often we do with our prayers. We say, Lord, take this, deliver it, do with it what you will. But we don't really hand it over to him. We keep the parcel ourselves and try and deal with it ourselves. We need to hand our problems truly over to God. Stop worrying about our situations. And then we can receive the joy and the peace that he can give us. I wonder if you realise what it is that God is doing. He has given us permission to stop worrying about our problems and let him deal with them so that in return he can give us his peace. It was as that man began to understand this and hand his worries over to God that he was able to lay his head down on his pillow and go right to sleep. When I quoted from Paul's letter to the Philippians just now, I stopped halfway through. You may have noticed that. I didn't complete what Paul was saying. Let me quote the whole sentence. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, I'm sure that some of you will be saying, it doesn't work. I've tried it. No, it's no good. It doesn't work. And that's what we say when we're filled with worry and fear and despair. But God is telling us to focus our attention on him and upon others. You know, it isn't enough simply to pray. Did you know that? It isn't enough to simply pray. We must truly think about God and what he has said we should do, and then pray. Then think about him again. I know it's a battle, but we fight by changing what we're thinking about and the way that we're worrying about those things. You might say that there are things that have happened in the past that will still worry us, and worry is never ending. But the next verse in Philippians 4 says, finally, brethren and sisters, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate upon these things. That means think deeply about them. You know, the word meditate comes from the same root as the word ruminate, which cows do when they, with all their stomachs, they take the grass which they chew and they put it into the first stomach. Then they bring it up again and they chew it again, and it goes into the second stomach, and so it goes through all the seven stomachs until they've got every bit of goodness out of that grass, which it then becomes milk for us. And that's what we're told to do. Chew these things over. Meditate on these good things, these things that Paul mentions. Have a look at them yourself when you get home. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. But I want us to take another step further. You see, the more we meditate on the things of God, the more we'll know God and his ways. We will begin to understand that God is really interested in us and he's concerned for our good. The psalmist wrote, the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. That's in Psalm 84, verse 11. And you know, if the psalmist could know and experience and live in the truth and good of that, then surely we, who know Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, can experience it in even greater measure. And there's one more thing for us to do after we have moved our focus from ourselves and from our troubles, from our difficulties, from all our worries. And Paul says we are to make sure that we keep doing it. We keep our focus on these other things. We have to continue doing the things that God has told us to do. Continue in the passage from Philippians. Paul says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And we might add, continue to do. Keep on doing. And the God of peace will be with you. I want you to know that over many years as a Christian, that all of this has been true for me and true for others whom I have seen being faithfully obedient to the Word of God. It is in our faithful observance and practice of God's Word that we are assured that God's peace is guarding our hearts. But Paul is saying something else here. Here Paul is saying that the grace of God will be with us, and that is even better. The peace of God is not only alongside us as a guard, if God is our Father, because we have repented of our sin and received the forgiveness that Jesus purchased upon the cross at Calvary, he dwells within us. And he is the God of peace, who is walking with us and through every situation, through every circumstance of our lives. Do you remember that Jesus was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Oh no, it wasn't Abednego. It was Abednego in the fiery furnace. He will be with us if life throws us into a fiery furnace. Those three men were at peace because of the confidence they had that God would keep them alive. They knew that God was with them, that God would see them through their ordeal. I wonder what you would be thinking if, for some reason or other, you were going to be thrown into that fiery furnace. I wonder what I would be thinking. Would I be at peace? Would I know joy? Would I have the confidence to believe that God would see me through it and that I would come out unscathed as those three men believed? We need to understand, as they understood, that God is with us, that he will see us through one way or another. You might say that it is being defeatist, that it is adopting an attitude of resignation. But I would say it is neither of those things. It is a confidence. It is being confident in God, who has a plan for our lives. And it is a good plan. Actually, it's better than that. It's a perfect plan. And my plea for you this morning in April 2022 is to urge you to walk with him, because he is walking with you. Are you aware of that? Are you aware that all the time you're walking around, he is there with you at your side, walking alongside you? And at times when you find yourself getting weary, he actually picks you up and carries you. No matter how bad your situation, no matter how bad your circumstances, God wants to give you peace. He wants to give you joy. That's his peace and his joy. Yesterday, Estella and I attended a service of thanksgiving for the life of Maurice Markham, who for many years was pastor of Meredith Road Baptist Church. It was at Queen's Road Baptist Church. The church was full. I had a wonderful service there. many things were said of Morris, which we identified with, and there were some things that we heard that we didn't know about. Actually, it was quite interesting because one of the lads that I was at school with, who had become a Baptist minister, oh dear, I'm sorry about that. Shut up. Go away. was actually conducting a mission in Cambridge, where Morris lived, when Morris decided to go forward for ministry. And it was good to know that happened, and to have that relationship, knowledge of the chappie, you know, who I knew from 11 years old up to the time we left school, was instrumental partly in Morris going through forward for ministry. Morris's widow, Helen, reminded us that a rose stem has on it both thorns and blossoms. Sometimes, of course, there are many thorns on the stem and only one blossom. On other types of roses, of course, there are more thorns and many roses as well. And our life is like that. There are times in our lives when we have many troubles, many difficulties. We're on a thorny road. Times are hard and difficult. But when we turn our eyes upon Jesus, when we delight ourselves in the Lord, as the song I posted this morning reminded us. Did you listen to it? He will give us the desires of our hearts, because the desires of our hearts will be the same desires that the Lord has for us. And a rose blossom will appear, maybe several rose blossoms. They will be a delight. Their life will be sweet. Their fragrance will be beautiful. And we will know peace. And we will know joy. The difficulties, the troubles, the hardships may remain. But walking through them with us will be the Lord. And that will make all the difference. Let me remind you what David said in what we have as Psalm 23. He said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that can be, or the valley of deep darkness, or the most difficult of times. When I walk through those places, I will fear no evil, for you, Lord God, you are with me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows, and surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Could you have written those words? We should be able to, of ourselves. David knew what it was to walk with God through very, very difficult circumstances, and he rejoiced in knowing his God. And so let me end by saying the words which Paul ended his second letter to the Thessalonians with. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with all of you. Amen.